Now let's start things off with Alex Whalen, who's operations manager at the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies and wrote an interesting op-ed piece in the National Post this week about getting a Senate seat for this province. Hi, Alex. Thanks for doing this on short notice, too.
Hi, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
When you want to make the case for Nova Scotia here, how do you do that? Because there are some reforms in what in how we're going to select this going forward?
Yes, the Prime Minister announced in an op-ed in the Globe and Mail this week reforms to the selection process for the Supreme Court of Canada. We have a retiring justice, Justice Thomas Cromwell, who represents the Atlantic region on the Supreme Court of Canada, and it was a part of the Liberal platform and a part of their policy to reform the selection process, which is certainly within their rights to do so. And they announced a number of reforms this week. What wasn't announced in the Prime Minister's opinion piece or op-ed in the Globe and Mail was that Atlantic Canada would be losing its dedicated seat or a guarantee to its dedicated seat on the Supreme Court, and we find that rather problematic.
I found it kind of odd that the Prime Minister would announce such a reform, what, basically in an op-ed of a national newspaper and not through a more, let's say, regulated government means of release.
It was a bit of a different means of communication. The government did make themselves available for some comment later in the day. The Justice Minister, for example, was questioned on the matter. But yes, as it relates to Atlantic Canada, it was actually interesting that there was no real mention of this in the text that the Prime Minister put out. People kind of had to connect the dots on their own, and then the Justice Minister confirmed later that our regional guarantee, if you will, has been erased.
Yeah, that's distressing in a number of ways, isn't it?
It certainly is. Atlantic Canada has had a dedicated seat on the Supreme Court of Canada since it was founded in 1875. We've been very well represented by a long line of excellent jurists, and yeah, it would be a shame to lose that. Atlantic Canada has regional representation in every major institution in the country, whether it's the Senate or Parliament. We've always had it on the Supreme Court. Other regions have guaranteed seats, and there's a constitutional convention that's been respected by every prime minister for, you know, the last 120-something years. So this is a problem.
Because traditionally, and you write about this, that the West got two seats, Ontario and Quebec three each, and we had one. So, you know, that representation going forward, I see at least in sort of, let's say, how equal the population is spread out among the provinces. Okay, that kind of fits, you know, the fraction I think of in my head. But, you know, we should still have one going forward no matter what. It's not like we've suddenly become irrelevant in not just in justice matters, but what's next? They're going to start eliminating our senators?
Well, exactly. And part of the bargain of Confederation is that provinces have a role to play in our national institution. We get regional representation. And the four Atlantic provinces signed on to Confederation. Those are the expectations, that you'll have a voice. Populations change over time. But the fact that we are jurisdictions within the Confederation of Canada, we need to be represented and represented fairly.
How much do you think language has to do with this now? Because it was noticed, and you mentioned this,
and hasn't specifically said this, but the rumor is that the wishes of the government is to find a female Aboriginal appointment for this seat. Very worthy goal. Aboriginals have never had a representative on the Supreme Court in this country. Women have historically been underrepresented. I take no issue with that being a goal. It's simply, as I try to say in the piece, we can't favor one form of diversity over another. The cost of Atlantic Canada losing its seat is not a good one.
Well, also, when you're talking about the qualifications involved in how much diversity you want on our Supreme Court, and you know, whether you look at the Canadian incarnation or what they do in the U.S., but like in either case, it's probably one of the most vetted jobs you'll ever see done publicly, and it might be the most vetted that's done at a public level. And in that case, you want someone with the top qualifications for that job. And if there's any special selection for no matter what other reason, if they're looking for a particular goal on the diversity set, then hopefully they're upfront about it.
Yes, yes. And to be fair to the government, along the lines of what you're saying about vetting, they have added some rigor to the process. The reforms that they announced were certainly not all bad. I argue strenuously against removing Atlantic Canada's guarantee, but some of the other things that they've done, which is to subject the process to parliamentary scrutiny, to involve an arm's-length committee, those things are good because these choices are important. It's simply that it's not good to have those things come in at the cost of our seat.
And I think I saw Premier Stephen McNeill weighing in on this the other day because the bilingualism comment came up, and he quite rightly said, you know, don't forget about this province's rich Acadian heritage. It does not just exist in New Brunswick, for example. There are plenty of people here who sort of espouse that diversity and are bilingual or fully functioning bilingual in Nova Scotia. Now, how many of those would make it all the way for the qualification sake of a seat on the Supreme Court of Canada? I don't know, but I hope that bilingualism isn't one of the efforts in which disqualifies somehow Nova Scotia, because what was mentioned too was that Newfoundland and Labrador was just, what, passed over entirely because no candidate there is sufficiently bilingual?
Right, and along the lines of bilingualism, it's worthy to note that actually Quebec has a constitutional guarantee of three seats on the court. The other seats on the court are by matter of tradition or convention, but Quebec has a guarantee. So in any situation, you have nine justices on the court with three coming from Quebec. Bilingualism requirements are likely to be satisfied anyway. By way of that guarantee.
Yeah, even with some of the Ontario appointments, I'm sure, because of the large Franco-Ontario population as well.
Certainly, yes.
Now, where do you see this going? Do we have some sort of appeal in this process as a region or among any provincial government to make our case more than what's been made so far?
Well, what we do have in Atlantic Canada is a lot of Liberal politicians and Liberal politicians that are very close to the levers of power. So I would say that it's incumbent upon these people to represent their region and to make their voices known. We have several federal cabinet ministers, and each of our four provincial premiers are Liberals who would no doubt have direct access to the Justice Minister and the Prime Minister. So I would expect those representatives to make their voices known, as well as Atlantic Canadians. We need to keep the Prime Minister's feet to the fire on this one, because it would be a shame to see potentially overall a worthy reform, come at the cost of this.
Yeah, I just hope that they can find the most qualified people for the job, and no matter, you know, what extra reforms or hurdles they want to add for qualified candidates to be considered, I would like the best people to represent Canada on the Supreme Court. And I think if you're going to start, you know, splitting hairs, you do start by region, because Canada is in itself a highly regionalized country. You can't drive across it in one day, and people from out west live a much different life to some people who live in this part of the country.
Yes, I agree with you, and that's how this tradition of regional representation is born. Legal decision-making is very contextual. Judges bring a contextual background to their decision-making, and, you know, it's certainly often that the Supreme Court of Canada rules on regional matters that have local context, and that's why we need a justice from this region to bring that perspective. And, you know, as I mentioned in the piece, there's never been any questions of competence, even though here in Atlantic Canada we have a slightly smaller population. We have produced excellent justices in the Supreme Court of Canada, so there's no question of competence either.
Finally, what's the timeline to have some of these selections be really put in place?
Well, there's one opening currently on the Supreme Court. Well, Justice Thomas Cromwell, who's a former Dow Law professor, is retiring relatively soon. That is the one seat. Following him, I believe it is 2 years after for the following seat. So there is a bit of time, and we know that politicians react and can change course based on public pressure. So again, I would stress it's important for people to take an interest in this issue and make their voices heard.
It's an interesting piece, Alex. Thanks again for spending some time with us going over it.
Well, no problem. Happy to join you. And if I can just add one plug in at the end here, I'd like to draw everybody's attention to AIMS.ca. That's the website for the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, and we will have this issue covered.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tyler.